Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Right. Our first item of business is verification of meeting notice. That happened?
Yes, it did.
All right. I'll move now to number four, action items. Approval of the previous minutes from the last Finance Committee meeting. May I have a motion?
Move that we approve the minutes.
Okay, motion was made.
Yes, and second. You need to second.
Oh, I have to second it. I second that motion.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes. Approval of grants and contracts over $250,000. Dr. Caroma.
Good morning.
Good morning.
In accordance with the policy set by the Board of Trustees, we are requesting the board approves a number of grants that we received from federal and state agencies. The first grant that we want the board to approve the receipt of the money and allow us to transfer this money to the foundation is $1.7 million from the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Development for a project called the Chicago Regional Medical Program. The program is to enhance education and employment opportunities to students in Chicago and other participating institutions. So that's a $1.7 million to be approved by the Board of Trustees. The second one is to allow to request the board.
Well, let's take them one at a time. Okay. Are there any comments? Not? We move on.
Okay. The second grant is.
Can you hold on 1 second? So, because we have some new board members.
Okay.
Let's give them a little bit more feel for what this grant does.
Very good.
Approximately 100 students, and what do they benefit? They get what, tuition, et cetera, et cetera?
Right, they get tuition, and I could have the gentleman who is actually in charge of the grants to discuss that. Kate, will you come up?
Just very briefly,
very,
so
very
briefly.
The
board members know.
Good morning.
Morning. Good morning.
What the grant does is to provide tuition and fees, transportation, and housing for students. The program is a consortium program between Chicago State and six other institutions. Governor State is the other four-year institution. And then there are five community colleges. And we partner with UPS. Actually, the program overall cost about $7 million. UPS provides the balance to the $1.75 million to fund the program. Last year, there were about 509 students in the program. And this year, we have about 380 students in the program.
How are the students selected?
The students are selected, one, they have to be eligible for employment at UPS. And then secondly, they have to go through an interview process and an admission process in the colleges.
Is this a four-year commitment?
It's a four-year commitment, but it's on an annual basis.
Okay, you have to reapply.
Reapply. Yeah.
Students work at UPS.
The students work at UPS on two specific shifts, the midnight shift and the early morning shift. And go to school during the day. They do receive, as I said, transportation, housing, their fees. When they do well in the program, they do receive an academic award for having done well. And so there's an incentive for continuing in the program and doing well.
Thank you.
The second grant is a $300,000 grant from the Department of Health and Human Services to provide, to support 30 students or 30 youth who are at risk violence, sexual type problems in the community. So it is from the Illinois Department of Health and Human Services, and we'd like the board to approve receiving that grant so we could actually manage and administer the grant.
Once again, for the benefit of new board members, could you tell us succinctly what it operationally this program entails?
The purpose of the grant is to provide 30 students between the ages of 14 and 18 who are at risk for negative health outcomes related to violence, sexual activity, substance abuse, and nutritional type problems.
I heard that, but what I mean is, can you give an example of some of the kinds of activities that address these issues?
Can we ask Professor Jan Searcy to come forward?
Is Troy Haddon here?
Is Professor Jan Searcy here? Professor, can you briefly, operative order, you know, give us some insight?
He's a principal investigator.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
The grant actually is working with 30 Hyde Park High School youth, but the Chicago State University connection happens to be myself and Dr. Troy Haddon. We're the co-principal investigators on the grant. It's a partnership with the University of Illinois at Chicago as well as Loyola University. So there's a mentoring component. There's also a life skills component, but we're following 30 high school youth at Hyde Park who are identified as high risk over 3 years. So this is the first year of a 3-year program. So we're utilizing community comprehensive services. There's also a partnership with Mount Sinai Community Mental Health. There's a partnership with the YMCA on 63rd and Stony Island, and Hyde Park High School itself and Chicago Public Schools. We're utilizing Chicago State graduate students as well as undergraduate students as program facilitators and mentors in the program.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Dr. Sears? Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor.
Okay, next. Okay. Ms. Williams, would you come forward, please? Bank depository authorizations.
Are you going to take action on those two? You have to recommend them to the committee. I think you need to have a motion to approve the resolution for the grant.
Oh,
okay. And then all the
action
to the
took place. Okay. And to recommend them. Mm-hmm. Let's, 1 second. Let us look at the first one first. I need a recommendation to approve the grant and to recommend it to the board for approval.
I recommend that we approve to receive and administer a grant entitled Chicago Regional College Program for the purpose of enabling Illinois residents to further their higher education and gain entry into the Illinois workforce.
And then you need to second it.
I do.
Because you're the two members of the committee.
I second it.
Trustee James.
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes. I need a motion to do the same for the Youth at Risk Initiative.
I recommend that we approve to receive and administer a grant entitled Fiscal Year 2009 Youth Empowerment Program for the purpose of mentoring youth between the ages of 14 to 18 who are at risk.
I second it.
Trustee James.
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes. Now, Ms. Williams.
Good morning. I present for the board a resolution for the bank depositories of the university to include Bank One, Citibank, Illinois Funds, I believe your sheet should say Seaway Bank, and additional Bank of Highland Community Bank, Minority-owned Bank in the city of Chicago.
Mine says Shore Bank.
I'm sorry, and Shore Bank, I didn't read that correctly.
So are you adding Seaway?
Seaway would be added.
It's
on the
list. It's not on there, that's okay. Why I'm asking.
Yes, we are. No, we're not adding Seaway. Seaway is one, we're adding Highland.
You're adding all of these that are printed here.
And Seaway, you're correct.
So Seaway would have to be added to this list?
Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's what I want to clear. Any discussion?
not, may we have a motion to do that?
No, it's not on mine. That's, they're saying that it was, it's be added to the resolution.
Mr. James?
I'm moving that we, I'm sorry.
Authorize that these following banks be depository, that we recommend to the board that they authorize that these banks can be depositories of Chicago State University funds.
I'm recommending that we authorize these bank depositories. Do I need to mention the banks?
No.
Or just the ones that are listed here?
The ones that are listed in, and additionally Seaway, because Seaway was omitted.
Was omitted accidentally.
Second.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes. Thank you. Audit update, that's Ms. Williams and Mr. Meehan.
We're actually meeting financial affairs, Ms. Williams first, come back.
Okay, it had financial affairs. I didn't know that there was something in addition. All right.
The report in your minute shows the report for Financial Affairs Department. Currently, we are awaiting the arrival of our Vice President, Mr. Glenn Meeks, starting Monday. So we've been just placing ourselves to better automate the processes that Financial Affairs performs. The Bursar's office, I won't read it, it's kind of self-explanatory, but we've been trying to automate such things as student refunds, allowing students to have direct deposits so that we prevent the long lines that we had originally had for student pickup checks. In the accounting, we've been going toward a paperless system for storage of documentations for voucher payments. We are right now in need of some more licenses for have more hands-on to scan the documents that we'll be storing. In purchasing, the SideQuest project is underway. That's where we're allowing people to go on the web and purchase materials, do things from search vendor catalogs to filling out requisitions, and that would interface with Banner to create purchase requisitions and purchase orders, so we'll streamline that process. I want auxiliary services. It's like really, the report is pretty self-explanatory. If anybody has any questions on it. We're just kind of poising ourselves waiting for our new leadership so we can start improving and try to work on the audit findings that we've been having.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last thing. Work on the what?
Audit findings or problems with our internal control.
Any other questions? Dr. Watson, would you tell us a little bit about this new staff person who's coming?
We are bringing on a gentleman named Mr. Glenn Meeks. He is a his experience is at University of Illinois and Roosevelt University. He will be joining us this coming Monday. He's had close to 30 years in higher education in different positions within finance, accounting, and et cetera, between those two universities. We are quite anxious to get him on board. And as the interim vice president has appropriately stated, he will be starting on Monday. But I would like to also take this time to thank the interim vice president for her time and her integrity that she has put forth over the last couple of months to ensure that that what she's going to hand over is something that that is appropriate.
Thank you. These are information pieces. They don't require any vote. Let's give her a hand. Audit update.
Yes, good morning. My name is John Meehan. I'm the internal auditor for the past 17 years. Part of my guidance comes from the Fiscal Control and Internal Audit Act. There's the most recent deadline pertaining to that act was September 30th. In your packet, that's agenda, internal audit agenda number one. It requires that a report be submitted to senior management to summarize the work of the internal audit area, which consisted of 16 audit subjects that are in the same audit cycle as the state of Illinois auditors. By that I mean it starts July 1, 2008, when through June 30th of 2009. During that time, according to the statute, there's major operational areas identified and different risk components that are accumulated to determine what subjects within those areas require testing. Then the internal auditor selects sample from the various records. It performs independent tests, takes the conclusions to management, and we discuss in a collaborative manner the action that's needed to improve or enhance those controls. The summary on September 30th is in your book, Exhibit 1. Of those 16 audit subjects, six of them are highlighted in Exhibit 1. I'll just touch on a few of them that are ongoing processes. We have a bookstore and we have the residence hall meal process. Part of the control mechanism for those pertains to a software called CBoard. The CBoard process is also used over in the library extensively for copy service cards and different types of other features. But on the administrative side, for the bookstore vouchers, which are $500,000 each semester, and then the meal plans, which are supposed to control your 19 meals per week for your approximately 250 residents, there's administrative controls and a review that should take place. Up to this point, the internal auditor has been the only one that acquired the software, the license, went through some brief training, and conducted those tests. I need management to facilitate that process with me and join me in that process in this current year. Spring book for vouchers start in the next 6 weeks. The other item that I mentioned.
What were your findings from your?
They're identified under number one in the exhibit one, that routine monitoring is an expected control mechanism, and internal audit will assist the assigned staff members of the Bursar office, which has a new supervisor, and financial affairs office to acquire training and utilize that resource.
What I was asking was what you found when you did your periodic control.
What I found is that we had problems with the bookstore vouchers and the software over in the Follett's bookstore operation, and there weren't significant discrepancies, but there were enough discrepancies to warrant that additional administrative review of those occur.
And when you made your audit findings known to the appropriate persons, what was the response?
Well, we have a receptive process. We have managers from different areas, but we've had quite a bit of transition in the Bursar's office in financial affairs recently. Also IT. The CBoard software, most of it, the knowledge base resides over in the library, whereas the administrative IT operation is over in the Cook Administration building. So we all have to identify it as a priority and work together to increase our knowledge base and obtain the training and utilize that software. That's my recommendation.
But you didn't. But I think you didn't. You didn't see any significant discrepancies.
No. No. Eventually, you have the students reviewing their records for the bookstore transactions. So you have kind of a self-controlling mechanism in there. The students would come forth, and we would work with them as well as Follett's to identify any discrepancies, any overcharges, for instance. But the process of getting those transactions on the student record on a timely basis, making sure that no refunds have to be subsequently adjusted because of charges that are coming late, and that's a significant process. we're talking about thousands of individual purchases that occur in the bookstore. The report that was in the last committee meeting, which pretty much highlights the 16 audit subjects and gives you a little summary of the steps involved, has other material. I'll certainly make sure that the new trustees have that from the last submission. The other area that requires annual testing is athletics. Last year, the athletic travel was a year of transition and difficulty in accumulating the on a timely basis and consistent basis the types of travel records that are required for good internal control. We have a relatively new athletic business manager. We have a new athletic director, and I'm working with the athletic staff to make sure that the compliance in the current year increases over the results of last year. Athletic travel last year was not submitted until the fifth week into the spring semester. So all the fall sport activity wasn't compiled, organized in a manner or a timely review by internal audit or financial affairs or any other type of a review. And the spring semester of 2009, now we're talking January through June, we had some deficiencies in the type of information and data that was submitted and accumulated. So part of that's the cooperation and the communication between the coach and the support staff to the administrative offices of athletics. So my recommendation that's in the report is that we know the vendors that we're using for travel. We certainly have the travel calendar. Now we have to make sure that we have the type of oversight with the coaches to get the data and the information submitted on a timely basis. And then the sooner I can do my review, you know, the more efficient that process should work.
There has been a series of meetings in the last 2 weeks concerning athletics in the finance office. And there's also been one or two additional controls put in place to ensure more timely submittal of athletic travel. One, to ensure better planning. Two, to ensure control. Three, to ensure a savings of dollars. Because you save significant dollars when you buy your tickets, you know. And there are meetings, that is my understanding, even today, that is going to get closure on some of the issues that the auditor is addressing.
It says in your report that this was also the subject of a finding by the Illinois Auditor General's office.
Well, travel, there were cited travel deficiency records cited by the state of Illinois auditors, yes.
Is this a new audit finding, or is this a?
No, that's a repeat audit finding.
Repeated over how many years?
Right offhand, I couldn't tell you, but they generally look at all travel records. They take a sample of athletics. They take research grants. They take regular administrative department travel, but that's been a repeat finding.
Are you saying that someone has now taken personal responsibility for the athletic department deficiencies?
We have Sudie Davis. He is now the director of athletics. And what I've done is we have Sudie Davis in the interim director, the interim vice president for finance administration. I have asked them to resolve the issues that the auditor has addressed, plus additional issues that we identified in the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
And those are the two individuals that I'm holding responsible.
Okay. So someone's accountable. Well, you know, I'm not on the committee, but I think this is such, if there's been repeated audit findings on the same issue, then it would seem to me that there should be a report either to this committee or to the board within the, at least within the next 2 to 3 months, where we hear what improvements we have made in this area and what controls have been put in place, so you don't have the same audit finding year after year.
I would hope that we can get that report, that we have to go before a state audit committee in December, and we are required at that point, please correct me if I'm wrong, to identify the follow-up to all items that were listed in the audit. So I would hope, Madam Trustee, that we would have that actually ready in December.
Okay.
And of course, you will be given a copy as well as all board members.
Okay.
Is that correct?
December 9th is the LAC hearing, Legislative Audit Commission hearing.
Is that going to be in Springfield?
Or? No, that will be here in Chicago
at the James Thompson Center.
And as you know, we've had 12 repeats over the last 2 years in terms of audits. So this is something that is a priority. And the new vice president, this has been clearly stated to him as his number one priority.
Okay. Did you give me notice of that?
Yes, you will.
Myself.
Okay.
Stop by.
If there's no other questions, I'll go on to agenda item number 2.
Mm-hmm.
That pertains to athletic funding. There's a Board of Trustee regulation under Administrative Affairs section. A copy of it's in your booklet. It identifies that there's a limit. State appropriations may be used to support intercollegiate athletic program, but not more than 1.5% of the university's annual state appropriation.
I had a question about that, and specifically with that resolution that was made by the board. Is it something that is that like a normal statute among all universities, state universities, that you have to have that 1.5% cap?
Well, this regulation was issued December of 2000.
Mm-hmm.
The Board of Governors system, which comprised of all the Chicago universities as well as Eastern, Western, and maybe that one other one. At that time, they all had a common regulation with that 1.5% limit.
Well, we're no longer connected with that.
We've never revised the regulation.
So it's
still part of, if you went to the website, you looked at the current listing of regulations under the Board of Trustees, it hasn't been revised or amended.
Okay. And it's just my opinion. I think we should consider revision or amending that. It's our current athletics program is very much underfunded, and you can't grow if you don't have dollars to grow, and we can't expect higher recruitment. We can't expect better talent if we can't even offer competitive scholarship awards. I mean, we have athletes who are going without gym shoes, athletes who are, representing with borrowed t-shirts and things of that nature, and that shouldn't be happening at a D1 university. So if there's a need for a new resolution to be formed, then I'd happily form a new resolution with some advisement from of course, the athletics department and someone from budget and finance to explain what a proper recommendation would be.
I think that that kind of discussion would have to be held within the context of a larger discussion, and that is what is the role of athletics in the mission of the overall university, and what then within that context of mission would be the appropriate funding. It's not an isolated issue. And I think the president is planning to engage in that kind of discussion. Am I correct?
Yes, you are. Right now, we are a NCA 1 status. And with that, that means that there's a certain dollar commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to determine, does the university have the appropriate revenue? I know we have the commitment to athletics, but we have to look at the priorities of the total university.
Right.
And that is something that we as a university are going to have a total discussion on. Should we stay at the number one, two, or three level? And each level has a different financial commitment for the university. So that will be taking place this academic year.
Thank you.
And I understand what Trustee James is saying, and some of that has to do with unique new needs of the population we serve.
Right.
We have a Boy Scout troop at our church, and we had to literally keep the uniforms locked up at the church because the kids were wearing them to school because they had no other shirts. And that had to do with needs at home. And so then the question is, how do you assist them with uniforms so they don't have to, what they need to wear to school so they don't have to wear their Boy Scout outfits, which included the shoes. So, you know, that's just the population we serve. And so you have to look at other ways, even with additional funding, that may not alleviate the need for someone who doesn't have shoes.
So going back to the disclosure that I made, the fiscal year 2009 appropriation, which ended on June 30th of 2009, it totaled approximately $7,160,000. The 1.5 limit would have equated to approximately $1 million of your state appropriation to be allocated towards athletics. Mm-hmm. The charges of expenditures pertaining to four athletic categories: gender equity waivers, the in-state waivers, athletic salaries, and a portion of athletic room and board was charged appropriation that summed to $1,004,000. So from that, you equate to the 2.07% is what was actually charged to the state appropriation. And so your limit for fiscal year 2010 is at least going to compute to that same result. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to raise the limit, you probably need to consider a 2.2% of your annual appropriation is going towards athletic subsidy. Now that's just the appropriation side of the whole equation of intercollegiate funding. But that's the part that's stipulated in all the universities. Okay. The last agenda item that was submitted in your packet pertains to the current year status of my work, which started July 1st, 2009, and will conclude on June 30th, 2010. Again, there's the state statutes require that the scope of my work cannot just merely pertain to the same areas that the external auditors target, because I'm supposed to be part of an oversight of the whole operational major areas. So I'm bound by statute to conduct testing in 11 broad areas. Now, I certainly try to target my sample to the same problem type areas that the external auditors suggest to us. But keep in mind that my resources have to be on a broader basis than the external auditors. So in your report, I just gave you a one-page snapshot of the work that I've done since July 1st to make sure that my work is sufficient and deemed acceptable to comply with the statute.
What support do you have?
I'm sorry?
What support do you have?
What support? I have a extra help part-time person, and on a limited basis, I contract with some external resources to assist management in a few specialized areas. There's an annual, it's called the FISAP report. It's a university benchmark that goes out to Department of Education. The transmission occurs in financial aid, but there's other components of it that pertain to specific Title IV type regulations and how you transfer funding between Perkins loans, SEOG awards, and other Title IV programs. That requires knowledge of those requirements. I can track with my former auditor who left us about 5 years ago, and he comes in to do those components. Now, that's part of my budget. He also is a former research grant accountant here, so he supplements the work that I do on a contractual basis in the research grant area. But I'm a staff of one
person. So before he left, was that work all done internally?
Yes.
And so now he's a consultant,
right.
And he's doing the same work that he did?
On a limited basis, yes. That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And at the time, you said your predecessor, were the two of you full-time audit staff?
Yes.
Together?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And so since he left, there's only one?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And the...
anything else?
No.
Thank you. We move on now to preliminary financial report.
Good morning. I'm John Frizzell. I'm the Director of Financial Affairs. What I have in front of you today is the closing of September 30th, 2009, which is the end of our first quarter of fiscal year 2010. If you turn to page one, it's going to show you the assets and liabilities and total fund equity. I'll just point out different variances as we go through this. As you can see, we have total assets for fiscal year, or for ending June 30th, 09 of
$253,233,000. It's listed. It says preliminary financial report. The initial books that went out made.
I've already reviewed it. You can.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Again, we have total assets of $253,233,000. I just want to point out cash and cash equivalents. You see the drop there from 2008 to 2009 of $12 million. That's primarily due to some litigation that was paid out at this fiscal year. Also, if you state and other receivables, the state of Illinois right now is over 120 days out from paying us, so that also shows an increase of $5.6 million. Drop down to liabilities, we have total liabilities of $33,160,000. Again, the line item performance bonds and notes payable, that decrease there is, again, some of the litigation that was paid out in this fiscal year. Also, deposits held in custody of CIRMA. Those are retirement funds that are held by the state of Illinois, and each university, state university, holds those for a two-year period, and then they're transferred over. So those were transferred this fiscal year also. Total fund equity this year to date is $220,072,000. Leaving us with total liabilities and fund equity of $253,233,000. Page two will show the revenue and expenditures. Again, if we go to total revenues, at this year we're at $46,820,000, and comparative to 9/30/08, we were at $45,023,000. So relatively close, there was a 4% variance there. Expenditures, we had a decrease in expenditures. We had a total of $25,903,000. And last year at this time, we were at $27,842,000, leaving us with a 1.9 variance there. Our total surplus for the year is $20,917,000, whereas this time last year, we're at $17,181,000. Again, I just want to note that these financials are preliminary and they are unaudited figures. I can take questions, but that would conclude my report.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Information technology.
I'm Creola Rigsby, and I had, my report was based on a number of opportunities that we have there. We have a new interim CIO of information technology. She has come in and hit the ground running. So some of these opportunities are not action items. So with your permission, I would like to introduce and let her give the board report today from information technology. This is C. Cole Dillon.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Welcome.
I'm very happy to be here with you this morning and to have the opportunity to work with Dr. Watson and team to improve the information technology services here at Chicago State. I think we have a number of opportunities to provide better service to the academy as well as to the business of running the university. We have a number of infrastructure issues as outlined in the report, including the amount of power that we have available to provide computing services to the institution. And we are taking up a number of initiatives to solve that, including that we are doing a survey of our power requirements, which is going to be undertaken by the Dell Corporation at no charge to Chicago State. And we are also investigating opportunities for implementation of green technologies, which will lower the power requirements. So right now, nearly all of the server technology that we use here at the university is based on physical servers, which means that for every server we need, we actually have a device that provides that computing power. But in the future, we expect to move to what we call virtual technology, where there is a virtual device providing the same computer requirement, which means that within the same power and cooling footprint, instead of having one device providing computing power, we could have as many as 10 devices in the same physical server providing 10 times as much computing power. So we are moving rapidly toward implementing that. I have also told my team that for all new computing that comes to the university, that it must comply with Energy Star requirements, which are federal standards, which place on computer manufacturers a standard for the reduction of the use of power, which means that if you have a computer that's operating and you don't use it for some period of time, that it will automatically go to sleep to reduce the power that's being used. So while we need to study and understand what the power requirements are and to plan for future, we're going to try to implement greater computing power while staying within the power and physical footprint that we have today. We have a number of opportunities that are presented by the number of consultants that are used within the university to provide computing power. So I'm in the process of doing studies to understand how many consultants that we have outside and how much of that consultant resource could actually be provided by my own team, reducing the amount of consultants that we have and improving the opportunity for growth and advancement of the IT staff. We also have a challenge with our infrastructure in terms of our internet, both the wireless and the physical network, and so what we are doing right now is working on getting a bigger pipe, if you will. I could go into the technology, but it doesn't matter. A bigger pipe that will allow us to bring in more wireless computing and cover the entire campus. Once we get a bigger wireless network, then we will go back and look at the wired network and make a greater capacity in the wired network as well. And that's particularly important for parts of the academy like the library, where they're talking about bringing in larger and larger digital collections. We need to have computing power that will allow them to bring that in, download it, and store it. So we will be increasing our network storage capacity to support initiatives like that. There are some particular technology, and I'm speaking to number five on the report that's been submitted, related to audit findings that we're in the process of implementing. And that includes Astra Schedule, which will automate scheduling and room assignment, which is really important to take away the tediousness of those tasks and to make sure that everybody can know as soon as possible what's available and how they can utilize the physical space. We will be improving the ability of students to find answers for themselves for their technology problems by implementing what we call a knowledge base. And I just recently had some discussions about also providing what we call crowdsourcing, which is a facility, an online facility, where a student can ask a question and other students can actually come along and answer the question. So to help, one, students gain confidence about what they know about the network, but two, to provide a peer-to-peer resource that will allow people to ask and answer questions about what's going on in the university. Banner represents a significant challenge for us, but we are in the process of implementing an operational data store. And why that's important is there are numerous reporting requirements for Banner information around the university, and having this operational data store will produce a structured environment where people can do their queries and get their data and have consistent data around the university. So that is my report. Does anyone have any questions with respect to information technology?
Yes, sir. Question. Just about the ability of offering bandwidth and...
We can't hear you.
My question was just about the bandwidth for the university.
Yes,
has
sir.
There been any drop-off or decline due to any anything from your department? Like, I noticed that my residence hall around... during the late business hours from like 12 to like 5 p.m., there's some decline in bandwidth available. So I was just curious if there's some change that's happened recently that's caused that, or some issue that's caused that, or some drop-off in services?
There is no drop-off in services, and this is the first time that I've heard that.
Yeah.
So I will take it as an action item to go back and look and see if there is anything that's causing that. There are some structural things that should exist in the network that don't exist today, like bandwidth management technology, mm-hmm. so that if a student is in the dorm doing downloading lots of music, mm-hmm. Right now today we don't have an automated way of ensuring that the bandwidth power would go to resources like Banner, as opposed to a student who decides that they need to download music. So we understand that that's a challenge, mm-hmm. and I have my chief technology officer doing some research to provide the alternatives that are out there with respect to doing bandwidth shaping, and we will provide a resource for that. We just need to complete the study.
Okay, that's great, that's excellent.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you so much.
Thank you. Facilities, physical facilities planning and management update. Something short of your 50-page report.
I'm sorry, sir, I didn't hear you.
Something short of your 50-page report.
Well, sir, the reason for that
report. We went from nothing to overkill.
You're absolutely right. And reason, sir, is because I did not have a template in which I could structure my report, and I thought more information was better than less. And since we have the new board members that have joined us here, they may not be as acquainted with how physical facilities addresses campus needs, infrastructure needs, and so forth. So therefore, sir, the reason for my
thank you
protracted report. But if I may, and I'm sorry for the general audience that I didn't do my report in a timely fashion, so of course, it's limited just basically to the board. But if I can direct you guys to the ramp summary, I think that begins most of the information that we'll need to sort of focus on for physical facilities. I've included basically an update of all of the FY 2011 capital budgets, FY 10 appropriations, major building projects that are under design, current capital projects, campus facilities upgrades and modernization, and deferred maintenance. I've attached exhibits to all of those various headings there because it's information that's generated for various reports back to the state. And you'll notice that I go through these things from starting with an appropriation budget and budget request. I've included all of the narratives that support these budget requests back to the state. So if I can direct your attention to the FY10 appropriations, you'll see which projects that have been appropriated that are funded, but not yet the capital release from the budget office. I think you'll find in these programs that these are buildings that have originally had an appropriation date dating back to the year 2000. We never went forward with many of these projects for various reasons, too many that I cannot address at this time here. But if you notice, also following that current project summary, this gives us the breakdown of when we contracted here, the project number, which is very critical because all of the project information resides in the public domain where anybody can look at the CDB number, go to that domain, pull down the complete history of the project, its current status for funding, and also whether it's a shovel-ready project ready to go into the ground. Do I have any questions today? No? Okay, then we'll continue on. What we did also is included in here, and I have to commend my staff for helping me pull this thing together, because again, without a previous record that we could go by, and of course, my past report was, I think, about one paragraph, maybe two at most, from my previous report, but nevertheless, we've also included in here narrative reports on how we proceed with the remodeling of all of our capital appropriation requests. It gives you the total financial breakdown of where these projects stand, the scope of these projects, why we need them, what supports them, and where we're at in terms of the university's decision to either reprogram some of these projects or sit with the existing program that we inherited from the previous administration, both Daniel and interim, and giving us, again, the ability to whether we should proceed as we have initially indicated or reprogram these buildings for other uses. That's a conversation I'm certain that I'll have with the board at some later date, but I don't think not at this time here. Again, moving right along with all of these things here, I want to direct you guys also to the planning, the narrative planning, because we have planning. One thing that has been missing, and I think the actions of physical plant, is that we have waited too long sometimes in our planning. Thereby, we continue to lose monies because when these programs are initially appropriated, they have fixed amounts that essentially we can only influence changing of by a supplemental budget. So every time we stand here and we wait for, say, if you'll notice in here sometimes an appropriation that took place in 2005. Well, from 2005 to 2009, we haven't moved on it, so we've lost money. How do we recoup those funds? We really can't. We have to look at other projects that we have on the books in order to say we'll rob Peter to pay Paul, so to speak, meaning that we have to sometimes retailer the appropriations of one project to cover the shortfall in cost for another. Sometimes this is good, sometimes it's bad. It depends on which facilities that we can really do without or which facilities we need most. This week and last week, I had the pleasure of going around looking at certain lab projects. Well, if I direct your attention to the lab replacement that's in this binder here, you'll see that we're very much in need of lab space. but how do we accomplish it? Then when do we accomplish it? We have very limited times that we can interrupt the classroom activities here because we're basically maxed out on classroom utilization. But that, again, that doesn't preclude us that we won't start these projects. It just means we got to be a little bit more judicious in the time frames in which we look at them, and also be mindful that if we wait too long, again, we're losing more of the appropriated dollars just through the lack of interest.
My only concern is this is your report?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that as a committee, we would need for you to prioritize for us where the real concerns are, and it's difficult to digest, you know, even a report that I know that was carefully prepared as this one was. So it's difficult to digest and really see where the where we can have victories quickly, and where we need to have a long range strategy for making sure we use dollars when they're available to us. So it would be helpful to me if you could take this and prepare, you know, a 5-page summary of what's in here, so we can really establish where we have priority items and where we are losing dollars, currently losing dollars. So if you could have one of your staff members prepare something like that, that'd be very helpful to me.
I'd be glad to. What's the time frame would you like this information back in?
You know, I don't need it tomorrow.
Okay. Okay.
Since this is my first day here. But, you know, I'd like to, I mean, this is a beautiful facility that you can see from so many different angles. But if there are physical limitations on the space, priorities that are not getting addressed, you know, money that's being lost to assist with the facility, then we, in order to really focus me, you know, I need to know where that is, and I can't get it from this.
Okay.
What we would do, Trustee, is do an executive summary and prioritize the capital projects that need to be addressed and identify the deficiencies or gaps that we have. This is Mr. Orr's first trustee meeting.
Thank you.
And
welcome to
but
you
we
well.
Will have an executive summary going forward.
And I think it's your first round of meetings too, and that can't happen. That summary could not be developed in an isolated fashion because it really has to deal with what are the mission priorities of the university.
Very
and
true.
That drives it more than just asking him to summarize from his personal
Very
opinion
true.
Point
well,
of view.
I'm actually asking him from his personal point of view where we are losing dollars.
Oh, I thought you said priority.
No, I know where we're losing dollars. What, in his view, the priorities need to be in terms of the physical space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether we are in a position to move forward with those is another matter. But if what I hear from him is correct, that we have dollars that have been appropriated that have been lost
mm-hmm.
because we didn't pick up on the projects, then that's not a good thing.
You're correct, ma'am, but also I think that if you'll notice in this report here, that will also be reappropriated dollars that are in addition to the previous dollars that were appropriated in prior years, and that you'll find in all these narratives here. But again, I can really go back and give you a summary, executive summary of in my opinion,
yeah,
where
in your,
we're
in your
at.
Leadership, in your opinion, I mean, and for me, your opinion is important. If you are dealing with the space and you have a constituent base, meaning the students and the professors that occupy the space, and I'm sure you're getting it from your end, from them, as what you think they're telling you what their needs are. I mean, you are a conduit for us in that population, so I'd like to hear
yes.
what your opinions are.
Okay.
Whether we're in a position to act on them is another story, but it'd be helpful to me in learning the university to hear what you think.
Yes, ma'am.
The other piece that you're gonna find is that where dollars were appropriated, they were not funded.
Right.
And that has been one of the more serious problems
yeah.
where the legislative body would give us $20 million for something. And it looks nice on the books, it hits
mm-hmm.
the newspapers,
mm-hmm.
Chicago State gets XYZ,
mm-hmm.
but then they never fund it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other piece you'll discover is they're underfunded.
Oh, yeah.
Significantly, so that they may throw us a bone. And then you go back and say, why was the project never accomplished? Because it was underfunded and there are no resources to fill the gap.
And we're getting deeper into this. But it is of great value, and that is, under deferred maintenance, just give you an example. Cook Administration Building went down about a month and a half ago. When I say down, I mean we lost all power, all power. Mr. Orr can give you the specific technology, but what it is that we lost our electrical service and our power plant that allowed us to have electricity into the building. But that service was put in the building about 38 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was only lifespan of 30 years. That means it's 8 years beyond its lifespan. Every day that goes by, we are literally, you know, mm-hmm. blessed that lights are still on. Now you may say that's just Cook Administration Building. We have 8 buildings on this campus that are in that condition. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to deferred maintenance in a real basic infrastructure of this university, we are almost at a, in that respect, we're at a crisis level. We're at a crisis level. And the dollars have not been allocated. Uh-huh. So we're now going down to Springfield, making a request for dollars because, you know, individuals like to give dollars where they can cut a ribbon, you know, opening a building, but no one really likes to give dollars for infrastructure because there's no ribbon cutting, there's no newspaper heading, you know. But this is really what keeps the university running. Okay. So we're going to have to go after dollars like that, and that's just an example of some of the things that Mr. Orr is going to report back on in his executive summary.
Yes.
Correct, sir?
That is correct, okay. But also what has been detailed in these attached narratives, because again, it gives you more of the specifics of the interest rates that we apply, construction administration fees, hull fees, soft costs are taken away from some of these projects that bring no real value back to the university in terms of bricks and mortar. Okay.
And during the orientation, in fact, I will even schedule a special meeting with the two of you.
A tour.
Yeah.
And let's also do a tour. You know.
Right.
A tour. We have to make sure that the trustees get a chance to see the physical facilities.
Are there any other questions?
Just simply one question, and that was about the RUC building. I didn't really get a chance to really look at that. I just got this today. But with